The tax collectors and the sinners, meanwhile, were all seeking the company of Jesus to hear what he had to say. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. "This man," they said, "welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. A man had two sons. The younger said to his father, "Father, let me have the share of the estate that would come to me." So the father divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son got together everything he had and left for a distant country where he squandered his money on a life of debauchery. When he had spent it all, that country experienced a severe famine, and now he began to feel the pinch. So he hired himself out to one of the local inhabitants, who put him on his farm to feed the pigs. And he would willingly have filled his belly with the husks the pigs were eating, but no one offered him anything. Then he came to his senses and said, "How many of my father's paid servants have more food than they want, and here am I dying of hunger? I will leave this place and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants.'" So he left the place and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity. He ran to the boy, clasped him in his arms, and kissed him tenderly. Then his son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the calf we've been fattening and kill it. We're going to have a feast, a celebration, because the son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now the eldest son was out in the fields, and on his way back, as he drew near the house, he could hear music and dancing. Calling one of the servants, he asked, "What was it all about?" "Your brother has come," replied the servants, "and your father has killed the calf we had fattened, because he's got him back safe and sound." He was angry then and refused to go in, and his father came out to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've slaved for you and never once disobeyed your orders, yet you never offered me so much as a kid for me to celebrate with my friends. But for this son of yours, when he comes back after swallowing up your property, he and his women, and you kill the calf we'd been fattening." The father said, "My son, you are with me always, and all I have is yours. But it was only right we should celebrate and rejoice, because your brother here was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found." The Gospel of the Lord. That is a very, very popular parable. It's been the inspiration of many an artist and poet and sermon giver for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands. People of all times and cultures appear to identify with it. And I think many, many families will identify with lots of aspects that are portrayed in it. There is no word of the mother. There's the absentee mother, the sibling rivalry, the overcompensating father, the dysfunctional family, an adult child returning home when all else fails. These are constant things showing up in our society of today. In fact, I think any therapist's diary would be full of such things over any given period of time, and a student would get heaps of case studies on the same matters. So it looks as if, in this parable, Jesus struck something that is common to all human beings. Two brothers here met in Auckland again over Christmas. They'd been as sick as thieves as children, and just moved and thought as one. However, as adults, they became estranged. They didn't bother with each other. And whenever they met, there appeared to be a tension as they eyed each other up and down and assessed the worth or achievement of the other. Then, this year, when they came together, they seemed to get on like a house on fire. The old humor and companionship and brotherliness was rekindled and noticed by all. But the reality was that the marriage of one had broken down tragically just a month or two before, and the company of the other had gone belly up. And the two brothers, in their failures, found support from each other in a way that in their respective success, they had not found any. And it seems that it's only when we ourselves experience our own brokenness, our own weakness, that we are able to forgive and be forgiven by the other. Robert Schreiter, who writes books on religious topics, claims that reconciliation is the greatest gift that our church has to offer the world today, when about a third of our 6 billion population is suffering degradation of some kind or other. There are victims of war, displacement, poverty, abuse, oppressive regimes, etc. Over the centuries, our church and other authorities have tried various methods of control over people, mostly unsuccessfully. Example, promise of punishment or reward after death, military means in the Crusades, torture with the Inquisition, and so it goes on. But Schreiter maintains that reconciliation is the crying need for our time. And this is the one thing that we can share with so many people in various walks of life today. Now, it's one thing to tell a story, and the parable is a story. It's very easy to tell stories. It's very easy to teach others what to do. But the hard thing is to actually do it ourselves, to live it out. So let's look at how Jesus himself actually went about forgiving others. And for that we find a wonderful example in John chapter 23. It exemplifies the kind of strategy that Jesus used. It was at resurrection time. Jesus had been betrayed, tried, tortured, and executed as a criminal. Those he had trained to become fishers of men had gone out fishing and hadn't even caught anything, not at least until Jesus advised them to try on the other side of the boat. When Peter realized it was the Lord, he grabbed his cloak and leapt into the water to get ashore quickly. He was so thrilled to see Jesus. And what did he find? Did he find an accusing Jesus berating him for his betrayal? No, there was Jesus cooking breakfast, fish and bread cooking on the fire. Peter there, dripping wet, and does Jesus say, "Well, what sort of a friend were you? Who needs enemies when you were my friend and betrayed me?" No, Jesus just says, "Come on, bring some of the fish you caught yourselves." And so all the others come ashore, and they have this wonderful picnic by the seashore, a breakfast of hot bread and fish. And so the way for the forgiveness is made easy in ordinary, common experience and shared by all. And Jesus then says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" There was no accusing, no demanding compensation, penance, or anything like that. It was just sheer forgiveness, sharing what they had caught with what he had on his fire, and listening to where they were up to, even though they'd gone fishing, these people who'd been trained to go become fishers of men. Jesus just received them as they were and understood where they were at.